Several years ago, my cousin Linda was diagnosed with cancer, and like everyone, it was absolutely alarming. It was quickly determined that she should be set up for chemotherapy treatments. She entered the first day of treatment, surprised to see that the facility was more like a living room than, you know, like a medical clinic. And that was pretty cool. People were hooked up to their IVs, but they were watching TV. Some were playing table games. Some were doing crafts, and others were just quietly talking and enjoying a refreshment. It didn't seem like a chemotherapy place. Linda walked in. She was greeted. She was sent to a designated place, and she sat down. Right next to her was a man in a rocking chair. She quickly learned that he had lung cancer. He was there with his wife. Linda was there with her mom. And the man was just winsome. He was very easy to talk to, made her feel comfortable. They talked about the treatment. They talked about their lives, their history. He was very easy to talk to, and he put Linda at ease. It was just something really good for her with the trauma that she was facing. She went for 8 treatments over the course of time, and ironically, the same man was there with his wife for the treatments. Eventually, she completed all of her treatments, and she then went back for a checkup. And she poked her head in the door of this room just to see if her friend was there. He was not. She asked about the man, how he was doing. And it was very strange at that point because the nurses couldn't remember who she was talking about. Linda described him as the little man sat in a chair with his wife over there. He always sat in a rocking chair over there. And she quoted his words, and the nurses are like, huh? What was his name? We don't have any record of someone being here like that. No one knew the man. She checked again. She went to the records. No, we don't have anybody here by that name. No record, no memory. It's very mysterious for her. So Linda definitely believes that it was an angel. You can tell her anything you want to tell her, but she's convinced in her mind it was an angel. I asked my cousin Linda, how do people react when you tell that story? She said, well, some people think I've lost my marbles, but I don't care. I know what I saw. He was really encouraging, and he really, really helped me. Yeah, the Christmas story puts a girl named Mary in a similar spot. A young girl minding her own business, and suddenly she has a whopper of a story, and who's going to believe it? Let's play Jeopardy. All right. The category is angels. I give you the answer. You ask me the question. All right. We are 2 godly angels named in the Bible. That's very good. Who are Michael and Gabriel? Very good. You got it up there? Hold on a minute back there, Douglas. Don't give them the answer just yet. What's in heaven fallen to earth? Who is? Lucifer. Very good. 3 female detectives on TV in the 70s. Thank you, Lord. Charlie's Angels. Yes. I know there's another movie about that, but I couldn't remember when it was. But the 70s. Tom, this is for you. We play Major League Baseball. Go ahead, Douglas. Who are the Los Angeles Angels? Come on, you guys, get with it. And I earned my wings, and it's a wonderful life. I heard that. That's right. Yeah, somebody. Yes, you got it. Who is Clarence? Okay, thank you. I like games, and it's fun for me. Some guy said it this way. He says, my wife is an angel. She's always up in the air harping about something. moving on quickly. Yeah. Well, you might be surprised to know that in the Bible there are 300 references to angels. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those you who have inherited salvation?" And Hebrews 13:2, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so some have entertained angels without knowing it." Could be one in your life this morning. I think that's what happened to my cousin Linda. She entertained an angel not knowing it. The angels on Christmas cards don't seem so scary, do they? You know, they're always kind of fluffy with a trumpet and wings and, you know, that. So it makes you wonder why in the Bible, when an angel showed up, almost every time the first words out of his mouth were, "Don't be afraid." Most of the time when they appear, people are gripped with fear, right? There's something about their presence or appearance that just grabs a hold of you. Max Lucado said it like this: "The gospel lists 125 Christ-issued imperatives. Of these, 21 urges to not be afraid or to have courage or to take heart or be of good cheer. The second most common command is to love God and neighbor." And that appears 8 times. If quantity is any indicator, Jesus takes our fears seriously. Says it an awful lot. Remember when Jesus was arrested in the garden, when Peter pulled a sword and Jesus said, "Put away your sword. Don't you think I can call my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Wow. Oh, to have his knowledge and confidence. A legion was 6,000 angels. So quick math, 72,000 angels on call like that. And as we see in the Bible, one is more than adequate. You don't need 72,000. One will do the job. And guess what? If anybody messes with you, if anybody messes with you as a follower of Jesus, they've got big trouble. It's not just you they're facing. Jesus said, "See that you don't look down on these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." You've got somebody going to bat for you, protecting you. So only one angel was sent to Nazareth to make this surprise announcement to Mary. I know you know the story, so I chose the translation from the Message today to maybe make it different and fresh for you to hear, maybe in a different way or for a first time, this story that you've known since childhood. Luke 1:26. "In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her." Good morning. Not fear not, like I would have expected, right? "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you." She was thoroughly shaken and wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule over Jacob's house forever. No end ever to this kingdom." Okay, girls, you first. What's your first consideration here? A what? And then next, how am I going to explain this? And even if you concede that God is in this, you have to agree that Mary is going to face some big drama. Fear not. Did you just say you have nothing to be afraid of? You don't live in my world. She has lots to be afraid of. Her fiance, her parents, her neighbors. Of course she was greatly troubled and thoroughly shaken. Who wouldn't be? The words were, pardon the pun, inconceivable. You will be with child. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, whose kingdom will never end. First question, well, apparently you don't know who I am. I am not married. I'm a virgin. In our country, every year about 1 million teenage girls become pregnant outside of marriage. It's become so reluctantly common that it's just okay, that happened kind of attitude. But Philip Yancey gives it a different twist when he gives us these words. In a close-knit Jewish community, the news the angel brought could not have been warmly welcomed. The law required a girl in Mary's situation to be stoned. And so there's the reality. Fear not. You have nothing to be afraid of. That's what Gabriel said. Well, it seems like there's a lot to be afraid of, and that's what we do. We fear the worst, even though Jesus tells us not to. We do that. You can just about pick any subject, and there's fear and drama involved. We fear the economy and terrorism and disease and crime, and we fear the dark. The number one fear that most people have still after all this time is public speaking. They don't want to be up front, ever. I certainly share that. I fear bringing shame to the name of our Lord. I fear that suddenly my fly will drop open right in front of all of you and the national TV audience out there watching. I fear I'll fall down the stairs. Some of your fears are founded, and of course some of them are unfounded. They're ridiculous. But the commonality among us is that we fear losing our jobs and income. We fear running out of money. We wonder if our kids will be okay, if they'll come back home tonight. We are a fearful people. Let's just face it. That's why the consistent instruction of the Bible is fear not. But who would believe Mary? One minute she's an engaged girl thinking about wedding plans, and the next minute she's shocked into expecting a child. She was thinking of a nice, quiet life in a small town, and now she's the unwed mother of the long-awaited Messiah. Fear not. This is something unknown, never expected. It had to be staggering. And when God gets in your world can become messy because he stretches you and puts you in places you never thought you would be. He wants you to build a big boat in a dry place like Noah, or he wants you to fight a 9'6" giant like David. Your comfort zone just gets stretched when God comes into your world. Now, I know as we come to the Christmas season, the virgin birth is the biggest question mark that most people have with the Christmas story. Yeah, all that fairy tale, mythical stuff. Yeah, that. Everybody knows there's only one way to get pregnant, although the Bible lists a few different ways that people get pregnant. There's only one way, and there's no way a virgin can have a baby. End of story. But the problem is the Bible, through the prophet Isaiah, clearly predicted the virgin will be with child. It insists on it. There's no way around it. That's part of the story. If that prediction failed, then the Bible would be untrue and God would be a liar. And it's always hard to explain the supernatural to folks who don't believe in the supernatural. I don't know how it happened, but I know it happened. God can do anything he wants, right? God can do anything he wants. You're asking me how it happened? I can't explain how a microwave makes popcorn. So I'm surely going to be way down the ladder when it comes to the virgin birth. Okay, I'm still fascinated when I get in my car and I just turn the key and the engine roars to life. I accept that, but I can't explain it, and I have been doing it for a long time. I can't explain how I can make a call on my cell phone to Egypt and talk to our friends there clear as day. It happens. But I can't explain it. Here's what I know. If God can't put an embryo in a young girl, then he isn't God. Flat out. That's where I stand on it. I hope that's where you stand on it too. He is God. He can do anything he wants to anybody he wants, anytime he wants. God puts the super in supernatural. That's what he does. He's God. So our problem isn't with the virgin birth. Our problem is with the matchless God who operates outside of the limits of this world. You might be troubled by this thinking. Well, join the crowd. Mary was greatly troubled. And this was just the beginning of her trouble. In the middle of all this trouble comes this command, fear not. Let's move it into our world. Think about your life for just a second. The doctor is on the phone for you and would like to talk with you about your test. Oh boy. The boss is going to have a meeting because the company is restructuring. That'll get your attention. The IRS is on the line for you. They have some questions about your recent returns. Oh, the lawyer has an update about your case. You have an hour. It's going to take an hour to explain. Yikes. Mary's journey turns out to be a lot like yours and mine. And so she wants clarification. What did you just say? How will this be since I'm a virgin? Fair question, Gabriel says. It's a fair question. And so the angel reveals some amazing information here. Now, you guys, you can look in your Bible and you will not find the word Trinity in the Bible. But right here in this explanation from Gabriel to Mary, you see the three parts of the Godhead lined out for you. I hope that you could read this maybe for the first time and it would jump off the page at you. The Holy Spirit will come on you. What? The Holy Spirit will come on you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God. Wow. And then he adds, if that's not enough, the Trinity is going to go to work for you. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, for nothing's impossible with God. God is present and at work. His record is 100% on missions accomplished. He never swings and misses ever. And so here's a really good secret for you when you don't think that you can deal with the trouble. God is at work in you, and God is at work in the lives of others. You aren't alone. Check out Elizabeth. She was said to be too old to have kids, but she's in her 6th month. What? Mary had to say, what? You know how it goes. The encouraging example of other people tells you it can be done. Other people have done it. When someone survives cancer treatment, it makes the rest of us think, cool, maybe I can too. When we see someone lose 50 pounds, we say, well, maybe I can drop 10. Maybe I can do that. When we see people lose loved ones and we know the bumpy road ahead is going to be terrible, we say, well, you can do this because, look, other people have lost their loved ones. It's not easy, but somehow they're managing and they're doing holidays and birthdays without their loved one. You can do this. So the idea of an Elizabeth in your life is just a wonderful thing, isn't it? I hope that you have an Elizabeth in your life. She doesn't say very much, in this story at least, but her example is speaking to Mary. So Mary hurried off to the one person who could possibly understand what she was going through. I hope you have somebody like that in your life. Gabriel gives Mary these three rock-solid facts in verse 35 through 37. Just, man, what a Christmas card this will be. The Almighty God of heaven is going to work for you. The three in one, they're all at work together. He's already at work in your relative Elizabeth. And if that's not enough, the cherry on the sundae. You already heard this. Nothing is impossible for God. I wonder how Gabriel said that last line. I wonder if he shouted that, nothing is impossible for God. Or did he whisper it? Did he emphasize one of those words? I like this statement from Philippians chapter 2, 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. That's pretty good stuff, you guys. Because God's not just at work in Mary on this Christmas message and bringing the Son into the world, but Paul says that God is at work in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. How about that? Not exactly the same way that he affected Mary, but the same power at work in you. He has a great purpose, Mary. It's all set. God's going to go to work for you. He's already at work in others. Nothing's impossible with God. Are you ready for this great adventure? The long-awaited Messiah is on the way. He's going to live in your body and make his home in your house in Nazareth. Yeah, that's going to happen. Now, I was thinking about how other people reacted to this kind of message when it came to them. And you probably could review some of the characters in the scripture or put yourself in their place. Here's what happened. At this critical moment, how does one answer when God makes the call on your life? Abraham laughed and said, I'm too old. You got to be crazy. I'm too old. Moses said, I can't speak. Gideon said, I am the least in my family. Do you know who you're talking to here? Isaiah said, I am unclean. Jeremiah said, I'm too young. I don't have any training. I haven't gone to school. I'm too young. And Jonah said, fill in the blank, I'm going on a cruise. I'm just out of here. I think it's a good time for a cruise. And Mary's answer, you guys, is one for the ages. It's the one of legends. It's the one that the Lord wants to hear out of your mouth today. I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. Is there a better answer than that? From a teenage girl. How did she get to that place in her life? I want to meet her mom and dad. Wow. God, if you want me to be a part of raising the God-man, I'll try. What a girl. She was all in. Mary might have been a shy teenage girl, but inside, she is a warrior, isn't she? There's something in this girl. 2 Thessalonians 1, this prayer comes to my mind this week. I pray that by his power, he may fulfill every good purpose in you and every act prompted by your faith. Simple prayer, by his power, accomplish your purpose. Would you say that God's accomplishing his purpose in you today? Are you cooperating with him like Mary? Or are you holding back, restricted by your fears? God would love for you to put this concept and these words in your mouth. He'd love to hear this from you. I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. And be careful, because he's not messing around. He will ask you to do something difficult, and he'll be right there to empower you to do the difficult, won't he? God's already at work. Others are out in front of you. You're going to be living this adventure. Fear not. Back to my cousin Linda as I close here. And Joy, I can invite you and the team back up. By God's grace now, she's 12 years past her chemotherapy. At first, she didn't see God in it. She was scared. But this unknown stranger showed up in a rocking chair to encourage her. And with his help, she was able to manage her fears and deal with the harsh treatment on her body. And now Linda goes to the chemo unit every month to be that person, to improve the appearance of some of the patients through her skills as a cosmetologist. And she's found purpose in life she would never have found prior to cancer. She's made friends she would have never found prior to cancer. And Mary would manage her fears too, wouldn't she? She would wait for her fiancé to come around. She would explain things to her doubtful parents. She would deal with the comments from her neighbors. She would wait patiently for these confusing details to sort themselves out. She would face a birth without much assistance. She would take a detour to Egypt. She would follow the mysterious instructions of her husband, who said he too was hearing from an angel and they should go back to Nazareth now. Eventually, she would have more kids. But she was the Lord's servant, willing to go for it, willing to be the means by which God would insert himself into the world. What a story. I know today that you're facing some fears. And I want to remind you that the vast resources of heaven are available to you. You're being supported by the Trinity. Yeah. You have others who have gone ahead of you. I remind you that God's power and God's peace are undefeated. He's already at work in the lives of others, as you can see. Nothing's impossible for God. So as we close today, I just want to pray with you. That's how I want to close this today. Because I know from talking to some of you that you got big things. Some of you are facing big losses. Some of you are facing unknown treatments ahead of you by the doctors. Some of you have big drama in your family. Yeah, there's a lot. And it's overwhelming to us, but not to the Lord. So can I pray with you for 1 minute, and then we'll sing this song. Father, we come before you with a grateful heart today. Thank you for the response of Mary. How did she come up with those words? How did she live that kind of life? How was she so willing with so much stress? Help me to be like that. Lord, everybody here has got something going on. Medical matters, family matters, legal matters, financial matters, relationship issues, these things that cause us to fear. Help us to fear not. I pray that by your power, you may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. I pray that'll happen for my friends this day. I commit them to you in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.